Chapter 46. To be forged again. After crossing the bridge to Tar Valon as a victor, the day nearly became a blur for Egwene. She hastened to the White Tower, Swan and Gawain barely managing to keep up with her. At the tower, Egwene was met by a group of servants. The sitters themselves were waiting in the hall for Egwene. The servants led her to an unadorned wood-paneled chamber set with a pair of leather-padded chairs. Egwene had never been here before. It appeared to be a kind of waiting room near the hall. It smelled of leather, and a small brazier burned coals in the corner. Soon, a short, toad-like brown sister named Lyraine entered and instructed Egwene on the proper way to go about the ceremony. The little curly-haired woman seemed completely indifferent to the importance of the moment, and Egwene had never met her before. Likely, she was one of the Browns who spent her life roaming the back library stacks, and only surfaced once a century or so to recite instructions to prospective Ommerlands. Egwene listened carefully. She'd gone through the ceremony once, but it was very complex. She could still remember her nervousness on that day months ago when she'd been raised in Saladar. Back then, she'd still been confused as to what was happening. Her? Ommerlin? That hesitation was gone. She did not really worry about getting the ceremony wrong. It was only a ceremony, and the important decision had already been made. As Egwene listened to Lyraine, she heard Swan arguing outside the doors with one of the sisters, claiming that Egwene had already been raised and that this ceremony wasn't needed. Egwene quieted Lyraine with a raised hand and called out to Swan. Swan peeked in the door. "I was raised by the rebels, Swan," Egwene said sternly. "These women deserve the chance to stand for me as well. Otherwise, I will never have a claim to their loyalty. The ceremony must be performed again." Swan scowled, but nodded. "Very well." Lyraine opened her mouth to continue instructions, but Egwene silenced her with another motion, earning a huff. "What news have you, Swan?" "Well," Swan said, cracking the door a little wider. "Bryn moved most of his troops across the bridges and has relieved the tower guard from their positions at the fortifications, sending them in, along with a number of his own squads, to help put out flare-ups around the city. The Shan Chan set some homes on fire to cover their retreat as they fled." That explained the lack of troops at the barricade. That, along with the knowledge that the hall was busy debating whether or not to raise Egwene, they likely didn't realize how close they'd come to war. "What do you want to do with the sisters from your camp?" Swan asked. "They're starting to wonder." "Tell them to gather in front of the sunset gate," Egwene said. "Have them stand in ranks by Aja with sitters in a line at the front. Once I am finished with the ceremony, I will greet them and formally accept their apology for their rebellion and welcome them back into the tower."
"Accept their apology?" Swan asked incredulously.
"They rebelled against the tower, Swan," Egwene said, looking at her. "Whatever the need of what they did, there is reason for apology."
"But you were with them."
"I no longer represent just them, Swan," Egwene said firmly. "I represent the tower, the entire tower, and the tower needs to know that the rebels regret the division. They needn't lie and say that they wished they had stayed, but I think it is appropriate for them to express sorrow over the hardships the division caused. I will acquit them, and we can get on with healing."
"Yes, mother," Swan said in resignation.
Egwene caught sight of Tassan standing behind, the woman nodding her Tarabonner braided head at Egwene's words. Egwene let Lyraine continue her instructions, then repeated back to her the lines she would have to say and the actions she'd have to take. When the Brown was satisfied, Egwene rose, pulled open the door, and found that Swan had left to relay her orders. Tassan stood in the hallway outside, arms folded, regarding Gawain. He leaned against the wall a short distance away, his hand resting on the pommel of his sheathed sword.
"Your warder?" Tassan asked of Egwene.
She regarded Gawain and was forced to confront a whole mess of emotions: anger, affection, passion, and regret. What a strange mix.
No, she said. She stared Gawain in the eyes. What I am going to do next you cannot be part of, Gawain. Wait here. He opened his mouth to object, thought better of it, then stood up stiffly and bowed. That gesture felt even more insolent than an argument would have. Egwene sniffed softly, yet loud enough for him to hear, then allowed Tassan to lead her to the hall of the tower. The hall. Both a place and a group of people. For they were one, just as the Ammerlin seat was a person, yet was also the chair in which she sat. She stopped before the doors to the hall, the dark wood inlaid with the silver flame of Tarvalin, and felt her heart flutter rebelliously. Swan suddenly appeared with a pair of slippers, gesturing at Egwene's riding boots. Of course, the hall floor was delicately painted. She changed into the slippers. Swan took her boots away. There was no need to be nervous. I've been here before, she thought suddenly. Not just in Saladar, in my testing. I've faced this door, confronted the women beyond, in my testing. A gong suddenly sounded. It seemed loud enough to shake the entire tower, ringing to warn that an Ammerlin was about to be raised. The gong rang again, then again, and those ornate doors swung open. Yes, this was a different experience entirely from the one she'd had back in that humble wooden building where she'd been raised by the Saladar Aes Sedai. In many ways, her performance in Saladar had been but a rehearsal. The doors finished opening, and Egwene stifled a gasp. The grand domed room beyond now had a blasted hole, a gaping emptiness directly across from the entrance. It looked out at Dragonmount. The chamber wasn't as damaged as some had been in the Shanxian attack. The rubble was minimal, and the destruction had barely reached past that outer wall. The raised platform still ran around the outside of the room, and the chairs it held were undamaged. 18 of them, in clusters of three, each painted and cushioned to declare the Aja of its inhabitant. The Ammerlin seat stood by the far wall, directly in front of the broken wall, its back to the sprawling landscape beyond and distant Dragonmount. If the Shanxian blast had gone a few feet farther inward, the seat would have been destroyed. Thank the light it was unmarred. Egwene could faintly smell paint in the air. Had they hurriedly had the seat repainted to bear all seven colors again? If so, they'd worked quickly. They hadn't had time to replace the seats of the blue sitters, however. Egwene noted Saeryn, Doasine, and Yukiri sitting with their respective Ajahs. Siain was there as well, regarding Egwene with those calculating blue eyes. How much power had these four women wielded in these events? Round-faced Suana of the Yellow was smiling openly in satisfaction as she regarded Egwene, and while most of the faces bore the serene, unemotional faces of Aes Sedai, Egwene sensed approval in their postures, or at least a lack of hostility. More than just the Black Aja hunters had been behind this decision. Saeryn stood up from her chair in the brown section. "Who comes before the Hall of the Tower?" she asked in a ringing voice. Egwene hesitated, still looking over the sitters, their seats arranged around the outer platform, equally spaced. Too many of those chairs were empty. There were only two green sitters. Talene had fled weeks ago. The greys were missing Evanaline, who had vanished earlier in the day. Velina and Sedora were gone as well. That didn't bode well. Those two were on Varen's list of Black Aja. Had they been warned? Did Evanaline's disappearance mean Varen had missed her? There were no red sitters either. With a start, Egwene remembered that Duhara had left the tower some weeks before. Nobody knew why, but some said it had been on a mission for Elida. Perhaps she was about Black Aja business. The other two red sitters, Javindra and Pavara, had vanished mysteriously. That left 11 sitters. Not enough to raise an Ammerlin by the old laws of the tower, but those had been revised with Elida's disbanding of the blue. Fewer sitters meant fewer women needed to raise an Ammerlin, and now only 11 were required. It would have to do. At least each and every sitter currently in the tower knew of this event. It wasn't in secret, like Elida's raising, and Egwene could be reasonably certain no black sitters would stand for her. Saren cleared her throat, glancing at Egwene uncertainly, and called again, "Who comes before the Hall of the Tower?" Tassan leaned in from the side, as if to hiss the proper response to Egwene. Egwene, however, cut her off by holding up a hand. There was something Egwene had been considering, something audacious, yet it was appropriate. She knew that it was. She could feel that it was. "The Red Ajah's in disgrace?" she asked quietly of Tassan. The White nodded, braided hair brushing the sides of her face. "The Reds, you needn't worry about them," she said in her light Tarabonner accent. "Following Elida's disappearance, they retreated back to their own quarters. The sitters here, they worried that the Red would choose new sitters quickly and send them to this proceeding. I believe some curt missives from the Hall of the Tower were enough to cow them."
"And Sylviana Brehan, still imprisoned?"
"She is, as far as I know, Mother," Tassan said, slipping for a moment and using the title, though Egwene hadn't been formally raised by the Hall yet. "Don't worry. Lyanna, she has been freed. We had her escorted out to stand with the other rebels, awaiting your forgiveness." Egwene nodded thoughtfully. "Have Sylviana brought here to the Hall of the Tower immediately." Tassan's brow wrinkled. "Mother, I don't think this is the time. Just do it," Egwene hissed, then turned to face the Hall.
"One who comes obediently, in the light," she pronounced in a firm voice.
Saren relaxed.
"Who comes before the Hall of the Tower?" "One who comes humbly, in the light," Egwene responded.
She stared at each of the sitters. A firm hand. She would have to be firm. They needed leadership.
"Who comes before the Hall of the Tower?" Saren finished. "One who comes at the summons of the Hall," Egwene said, "obedient and humble in the light, asking only to accept the will of the Hall."
The ceremony proceeded, each of the sitters stripping to the waist to prove she was a woman. Egwene did the same, and barely gave a blush at the thought of Gawain, who had clearly thought she should bring him along to the event.
"Who stands for this woman?" Saren asked, after the sitters had redressed.
Egwene had to remain stripped to the waist for now, and the cool breeze through the broken wall was chill on her skin.
"And pledges with her, heart for heart, soul for soul, life for life."
Yukiri, Siane, and Suana stood quickly.
"I so pledge," each of them announced.
The first time Egwene had experienced this ceremony, she had been in shock. At each step, she'd been terrified she'd make an error. Worse, she'd been terrified that it would all turn out to be a ruse or a mistake. That fear was gone. As the ritual questions were asked, as Egwene stepped forward 3 steps and knelt on the smooth floor, repainted by Elida's order with only 6 colors spiraling out of the mark of the Flame of Tarvalin, Egwene saw through the pomp and looked at the core of what was happening. These women were terrified, as had been the women in Saladar. The Ammerlin seat was a force of stability, and they reached for it. Why had she been chosen? Both times it seemed the same answer, because she was the only one they could all agree upon. There were smiling faces in this group, but they were the smiles of women who had succeeded in keeping rivals off of the seat. Either that, or they were the smiles of women who were relieved that someone was stepping up to take leadership. And, perhaps, there were some who smiled because they weren't the ones who had to take the seat. Its recent history had been fraught with danger, dissension, and 2 dramatic tragedies. Originally, in Saladar, Egwene had thought the women were being idiots. She was more experienced now, and hopefully wiser as well. She could see that they hadn't been fools. They'd been Aes Sedai, covering their fear by being overly cautious, yet brazen at the same time. Choosing someone they wouldn't mind seeing fall. Taking a risk, but not putting themselves in direct danger. These women were doing the same. They covered their fear with smooth faces and acts of control. When the time came for the sitters to stand in her support, Egwene was not surprised that all 11 rose to their feet. Not a single dissent. There would be no foot washing during this ceremony. No, she was not surprised. They knew that there was no other option. Not with an army on their doorstep. Not with Elida as good as dead. The Aes Sedai thing to do was act as if there had never been any argument. The consensus must be reached. Saren looked surprised that nobody had chosen to remain seated, if only to prove that she would not be bullied. In fact, more than one of the sitters seemed surprised, and Egwene suspected that they were regretting their decision to stand up so quickly. One could gain some measure of power by being the only person who remained seated, forcing Egwene to wash her feet and ask for permission to serve. Of course, that also could have singled the woman out and earned her the dislike of the new Ammerlin. The women slowly took their seats. Egwene needed no guidance, and none was offered. She rose and strode across the hall, her slippered feet silent on the painted stone of the flame. A gust of wind blew through the room, ruffling shawls, blowing across Egwene's bare skin. It said something for the strength of the hall that they had chosen to meet here, despite the dizzying view out of the far wall. Saren met Egwene at the seat. The olive-skinned Altaran began to button Egwene's bodice with careful fingers, then reverently lifted the Ammerlin's stole from the seat. It was the one with all 7 colors, recovered from wherever Elida had discarded it. Saren regarded Egwene for a moment, hefting the stole as if judging it. "Are you certain you want to bear this weight, child?" Saren asked in a very soft voice. This was not part of the ceremony. "I bear it already, Saren," Egwene's reply was almost a whisper. "Elida cast it aside when she tried to slice it and divide it as she wished. I took it up and have carried it since. I would bear it to my death and will." Saren nodded. "I think that might be why you deserve it," she said. "I doubt anything in the histories will compare to the days ahead. I suspect that in the future scholars will look back on our days and judge them to be more difficult, more trying of mind, body, and soul than the time of madness or the breaking itself." "Then it's a good thing the world has us, isn't it?" Egwene asked. Saren hesitated, then nodded. "I suppose it is at that." She raised the stole and set it upon Egwene's shoulders. "You are raised to the Ammerlin seat," she declared, the voices of the other sitters joining in the glory of the light, that the White Tower may endure forever. Egwene Alvear, the Watcher of the Seals, the Flame of Tar Valon, the Ammerlin seat. Egwene turned to regard the group of women, then sat down in the chair. She felt as if she had returned home after a very long journey. The world bowed beneath the stress of the Dark One's touch, but it felt a little more right, a little more secure, the moment she took her place. The women arranged themselves before her in order of age, with Saren at the very end. One at a time, they curtsied deeply before her, asked her permission to serve, then kissed her great serpent ring and stepped aside. As they did so, Egwene noticed that Tassan had finally returned. She peeked in to be certain everyone was dressed, then returned a moment later, leading a group of 4 guards, with the Flame of Tar Valon burning white on their chests. Egwene suppressed a sigh. They'd brought Sylviana in chains, it appeared. After kissing her ring, the sitters returned to their chairs. There was some little more to the ceremony, but the important part was through with. Egwene was Ammerlin, really and truly, at long last. She had waited so long for this moment. Now it was time for some surprises. "Release the prisoner's chains," Egwene said. Reluctantly, the soldiers outside the room did as demanded, the metal clinking. The sitters turned with confused expressions. "Sylviana Brehan," Egwene declared, standing up. "You may approach the Ammerlin seat." The soldiers stepped aside and allowed Sylviana to enter. Her red dress had once been fine, but she had not been well treated by Elida's confinement. Her black hair, normally kept in a bun, was instead coarsely braided. Her dress was rumpled, the knees dirty, and yet her square face was serene. Surprisingly, she knelt before Egwene after walking across the room. Egwene lowered her hand and let the woman kiss her ring. The sitters watched, confused that Egwene had broken the ceremony. "Mother," Yukiri finally asked, "is this the best time to be dispensing judgment?" Egwene withdrew her hand from the kneeling Sylviana and looked directly at Yukiri, then turned her gaze across the waiting sitters. "You all bear a great deal of shame," she said. Stiff-faced Aes Sedai raised eyebrows and opened eyes wider. They seemed angry. They had no right. Their anger was nothing beside hers. "This," Egwene said, gesturing toward the broken wall. "You bear responsibility for this." She pointed at Sylviana, still kneeling. "You bear responsibility for this. You bear responsibility for the way our sisters regard one another in the halls. And you bear responsibility for letting the tower remain so long in division. Many of you bear responsibility for that division in the first place. You are a disgrace. The White Tower, the pride of the light, the power for stability and truth since the Age of Legends, has nearly been shattered because of you." Eyes bugged out, and a few women choked in shock. "Elida," one began. "Elida was a madwoman, and you all know it," Egwene said sternly, standing tall, staring them down. "You knew it these last few months as she worked unwittingly to destroy us. Light, many of you probably knew it when you raised her in the first place. There have been foolish Amerlins before, but none have come as close to tearing down the entire tower. You are a check upon the Amerlin. You are to keep her from doing things like this. You allowed her to disband an entire Aja? What were you thinking? How is it that you allowed the tower to fall so far, and when the Dragon Reborn himself walks the land, no less? You should have removed Elida the moment you heard of her disastrous attempt to confine Randall Thor. You should have removed her when you saw how her bickering and pettiness was turning Ajas against one another. And you should certainly have removed her when she refused to do what was needed to bring the tower again, whole as one." Egwene looked down the lines of sisters, staring at each one in turn, meeting each set of eyes until they looked away. None dared hold her gaze for long. Finally, she saw shame begin to peek through their masks, as well it should. "None of you would stand up to her," Egwene spat. "You dare call yourself the Hall of the Tower? You who were cowed? You who were too frightened to do what was needed? You who were too caught up in your own squabbles and politicking to see what was needed?" Egwene looked down at Sylviana. "Only one woman in this room was willing to stand up for what she knew to be right. Only one woman dared defy Elida, and she accepted the price of doing so. And you think I brought this woman here to exact vengeance on her? Are you really so blinded that you think I'd punish the only person in the entire tower who did anything of decency these last few months?" They were all looking down now. Even Saren wouldn't meet her eyes. Sylviana looked up at her. "You did your duty, Sylviana," Egwene said. "And you did it well. Rise." The woman stood. She looked haggard, eyes puffy from lack of sleep, and Egwene suspected she was having trouble standing. Had anyone seen to bringing her food or water during the chaos of the last few days? "Sylviana," Egwene said, "a new Amerlin has been raised, and it shames me to say it was done with a subterfuge similar to Elida's raising. Of the 7 Ajas, only 5 were represented. The blue I know would support me, were they here, but the red were not even given a chance to voice their dissent or approval." "There are good reasons for that, Mother," Sylviana said. "That may be true," Egwene said, "but it all but ensures that my reign will be marked with tension between myself and the red. They will perceive ill will where there is none, and I will lose the strength of hundreds of women, women that will be sorely needed.
I don't see any way around that, Mother, Sylviana said honestly.
I do, Egwene said. Sylviana Brehon, I would have you as my keeper of the Chronicles. Let it not be said that I spurned the Red.
Sylviana blinked in surprise. There were a few gasps from the sitters, though Egwene did not mark whose they were.
She stared Sylviana in the eyes. Just a short time ago, this woman had had Egwene over the side of the desk, paddling her at Elida's command. But Sylviana now knelt. She had done so without needing an order. She accepted the hall's authority to raise Egwene. Did she accept Egwene herself? Egwene's offer would place her on a difficult and dangerous road. The Reds might see it as a betrayal. What would Sylviana's response be? Egwene blessed the trick that kept her from sweating. Otherwise, she knew that drops would have been trickling down the sides of her face.
I would be honored, Mother, Sylviana said, kneeling again. Truly honored.
Egwene let out a breath. Her task of reuniting the fractured Ajahs would be difficult, but if the Reds saw her as an enemy, it would be nearly impossible. With Sylviana on her side, she would have an envoy to the Reds who would not be rejected, hopefully. This will be a difficult time for the Red Ajah daughter, Egwene said. Their nature has always been to capture men who can channel, but reports claim that Sidene is cleansed.
There will still be rogue channelers, Mother, Sylviana said, and men are not to be trusted.
Someday we will have to move beyond that last statement, Egwene thought. But for now, it is true enough to let stand. I didn't say that your purpose would vanish, only that it would change. I see great things for the Red Ajah in the future, an expanding of vision, a renewal of duty. I am pleased to have you at my side to help guide them.
Egwene looked up at the sitters who were watching in stunned silence.
I'd order you all to do penance, Egwene said, save for the fact that I know some of you at least were working behind the scenes to stop the crumbling of the White Tower. You didn't do enough, but you did something. Beyond that, I think that the penance we often demand of ourselves is ridiculous. What is physical pain to Aes Sedai?
Egwene took a deep breath.
And I am not guiltless either. I share some of your shame, for it was during my tenure that these disasters occurred. I sided with the rebels, allowed myself to be raised by them because it was the only choice. But that choice still gives me culpability. Bear your shame, sitters, but bear it with determination. Do not let it break you. The time for healing has begun, and there is no longer any use in pointing fingers. You failed, but you are all that we have. We are all that the world has.
The women began to look up.
Come, Egwene said, striding through the room, Sylviana smoothly falling into step beside her. Let us greet the rebels.
They passed through the hallways of the tower, which still smelled of smoke and were strewn with rubble in places.
Egwene tried not to look at the bloodstains.
The sitters followed hard, clustering in Ajah groups despite Egwene's recent chastisement. There would still be a lot of work to heal them.
Mother, Sylviana said quietly as they walked, I can only assume that you had a keeper already among the rebels. Do you intend to maintain two of us?
Her tense voice revealed what she thought of such an unconventional arrangement.
No, Egwene said. My previous keeper was executed for being of the Black Ajah.
Sylviana paled.
I see. We can't dance around these things, Sylviana, Egwene said. I received a very important visitor just before my rescue. She was of the Black, and betrayed to me the names of other Black sisters. I have confirmed each of those who were among the rebel Aes Sedai through use of the Oath Rod.
The Oath Rod? Sylviana exclaimed.
Yes, Egwene said as they entered a stairwell. I was given it last night by an ally in the tower, though it occurs to me that we'll have to move the room with the Turangreal. and keep the location secret and constantly warded. It won't be long before every sister with sufficient power knows the weave for traveling, and I wouldn't put it past many of them, including those I trust, to borrow Angreal now and again.
Yes, Mother, Sylviana said.
Then, in a quieter voice, I'm going to have to get used to a lot of things changing, I suspect.
I'm afraid so, Egwene said. Not the least of which will be the need to choose a proper mistress of novices, one who can deal with hundreds of new initiates, many of whom are not of the standard age. I've already begun the process of accepting for training any woman, no matter how old, who shows some measure of ability with channeling. I suspect that before long the White Tower will be bursting at the seams with novices.
I shall consider suggestions for a replacement quickly then, Mother, Sylviana said.
Egwene nodded in approval.
Romanda and Lilaine would undoubtedly be livid when they discovered what Egwene had done in choosing Sylviana, but the more she considered it, the more satisfied Egwene was. Not just because Sylviana was red, but because she was so capable. Saren would have been a fair choice, but many would have seen her as being Egwene's guide and perhaps the real power behind the seat. Picking a blue would have been too divisive for the current state of the tower. And besides, with an Amarlin who was one of the rebels, nobody would soon forget that, no matter what Egwene said or did. It would go a long way toward healing relations to have a keeper who had been a loyalist. Before long, they reached the tower's great square, on the east side of the building. The square was filled, as per her orders, by women in ranks by Aja. Egwene had chosen this position because of the tall steps leading up to the tower, topped by a spacious landing. She stood there, back to the majestically carved doors. It was a perfect location from which to address a crowd. It was also situated between the wings, which had taken the worst damage during the attack the previous night. The east wing still smoldered. The dome had collapsed. One of the walls had fallen in. However, from this vantage, the tower itself was relatively free of scars, and neither of the gaping holes was directly visible. Egwene could see faces lining the lower windows. Aes Sedai and novices alike watched her. It seemed that in addition to the rebels, Egwene had an opportunity to address the majority of the remaining occupants of the tower. She made a weave to enhance her voice, not to booming levels, but enough to let her be heard both from behind and below. Sisters, she said. Daughters, I have been raised properly to the Amarlin seat. Both sides of this conflict have chosen me. Both followed the prescribed methods and both now accept me as their Amarlin. It is time to join together again. I will not pretend that our division did not take place. We of the White Tower are sometimes too eager to forget those facts we don't want to acknowledge. This one cannot be hidden, not from us who lived it. We were divided. We nearly came to war with one another. We have disgraced ourselves. You rebels before me have done something terrible. You have shattered the tower and raised up a rival Amarlin. For the first time, troops have been marshaled by Aes Sedai against Aes Sedai. I led those troops. I know of this shame. Necessary or not, it is a shame. And so it is that I require your admission of guilt. You must take responsibility for your crimes, even those performed in the name of the greater good. She looked down at the Aes Sedai below. If her action of forcing them into ranks, then making them wait upon her will, hadn't made them aware of her attitude, then perhaps her words would. You did not come here in glory, Egwene said to them. You did not come here victorious, for there is no victory, and could have been no victory, when sister fought sister and warder died to warder. She noted Swan standing near the front of the ranks and met her eyes across the distance. Lyanna was there, too, looking disheveled from her long imprisonment, but standing erect. Mistakes have been made on both sides, Egwene said, and we will all have to work hard to repair what we have done. It is said by blacksmiths that a sword can never be whole again once it has been shattered. It must be completely reforged, the metal melted down to slag, then reworked and reformed. These next few months will be our reforming. We have been broken, then torn down nearly to roots. The last battle approaches, and before it arrives, I mean to see that we are once again a sword forged with strength, whole and unbroken. I will make demands of you. They will be harsh. They will stretch you to the limits of what you think you can bear. I will take these burned holes and fill them. Accommodations will have to be made, for between us there are far too many sitters for the hall, not to mention 5 too many Aja heads. Some of you will have to step down and bow yourselves in humility before those you dislike. These days will test you. I will force you to work with those you saw as enemies just hours ago. You will march alongside those who spurned you or hurt you or hated you. But we are stronger than our weaknesses. The White Tower stands, and we shall stand with it. We will become one again. We will be an assembly that tales will tell of. When I am finished with you, it will not be written that the White Tower was weak. Our divisions will be forgotten in the face of our victories. We will be remembered not as the White Tower who turned against itself, but as the White Tower who stood strong in the face of the shadow. These days will be legendary. Cheers broke out, mostly from novices and soldiers, as the Aes Sedai were too reserved for that sort of behavior, generally. Some younger ones did call out, caught up in the moment. Thankfully, those cheers came from both sides. Egwene let them roar for a moment, then raised her arms, quieting them. "Let it go forth across the land," she shouted. "Let it be spoken of, let it be relied upon, and let it be remembered. The White Tower is whole and complete, and no one, man, woman, or creation of the shadow, will see us divided again." The cheers were nearly deafening this time, and surprisingly, more Aes Sedai joined in. Egwene lowered her hands. She hoped they would still cheer her in the months to come. There was a great deal of work to be done.